Hello all, and welcome to the latest episode of the Horror Countdown Podcast. I'm your host, Don and Ellie, and with me tonight is my guest, Mark J. Parker.
Hello. Hi, Don.
Hi. Thank you for coming on and doing this.
Oh my gosh, thanks so much. I'm so glad, you know, we are Facebook friends. We haven't met in person, but I love your posts. I love how you have created a horror fan community, and I saw you were looking for guests, and I was like, I gotta throw my name in the ring. So thanks for having me.
Of course, yeah, I'm always happy to have people help out.
Yeah.
So yeah, for tonight's show, we are gonna be doing our top 10 female killers in horror.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I normally have a little, you know, go a little back and forth, but I do want to preface this right from the very beginning, so there's no, you know, angry posts or anything. I usually prefer spoiler-free discussions on my show. The very nature of the films being selected for this may make it a spoiler. So I'm going to assume that this is a spoiler-heavy discussion.
Yeah, sadly.
Yeah, I'm not going to speak, you know, anything on your end, but my list, there is one or two that the reveal of it being a woman is a, you know, quote unquote spoiler. So, like I was saying, the very inclusion that the films we're discussing tonight could potentially be a spoiler just because of the nature of the conversation. So, fair warning, it's from the very beginning, but, you know, with that out of the way, I guess. This was your topic, your choice for us to discuss. So what was the reasoning behind it, and a little bit about what the selection was?
Yeah, wow, thanks. Yeah, you know, when you had asked me what my ideas were, it was hard because I love this genre. I'm a horror filmmaker as well, so I have loved horror since I was a kid. It made me want to, you know, be in the industry. So I was like, what do I do? You know, and I've always loved killer women. I've always thought, you know, they're either really fun or over the top or truly terrifying, because I think in a very traditional sense, you know, women are our mothers, they're, you know, caretakers, they're nice, they're sweet, you know, in a very generic sense, right? So it's always so fun or so twisted when they are killing everyone or when they snap, you know. So I just am such a fan of any film, even some horror comedies or whatever, or thrillers, where, you know, the woman is doing the murdering, and 9 times out of 10, she has a great motive, better than some of the guys. So I just thought, let's talk about some scary, terrifying lady killers.
Yeah. So yeah, I kind of looked at it pretty much the same way. I do think that it is actually far scarier for it to be a woman killer than for it to be a man. I'm not talking, you know, the Jason Voorhees, Michael Myers type of killer. I'm talking like the more garden variety, you know, the average Joe next door, or, you know, like, or I guess I should say Jane next door type of killer, where it's not, you know, the supernatural empowered figure, you know, it's the person you see at the grocery store, or the, you know, the figure you meet just walking down the street. Like, it's always been scarier to me for it to be a woman, just because, like you're saying, it's just unnatural for them to see them, you know, unleash like a violent side, just because you're always taught from a young age, you know, they're nurturing, they're caring, that they're supposed to take care and protect you, and to, you know, then be like, okay, well, I'm gonna, you know, use that to lure you in, and then, you know, take a knife and, you know, stab you in the neck or something. Like, that's always been like a scarier concept than just, you know, some guy for you know, I'm throwing no shade at this, but I'm gonna say, you know, like a guy like you know, Joe Spinell in Maniac, like that is a guy that I look at it and I'm gonna be like, yeah, okay, I'm gonna, you know, walk aside and not, you know, try to anger him or do anything. Like, you know, that's not a guy that you're gonna want to, you know, like mess with or, you know, do anything like that, because he just looks like he's somebody that's gonna, you know, rough you up or something. And it's not really as scary when he snaps, because he looks like he's going to anyway. So when you see the woman do it, and you know, you see them like snap and turn, and it does add like a little bit more extra kind of just a sense of unease, just because you know, you're taught to, you know, respect them and to try to, you know, not injure them, and then for that to, you know, turn on your back and be the reason why they're killing you, and it's kind of like, okay, well, that's a little bit more of a scarier concept. So
Yeah.
I'm definitely glad that I'm definitely glad that you use this. I mean,
Yeah.
yeah. For me,
I'm just so happy you hadn't talked about it before. This is great.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I haven't talked about. So yeah, I'm kind of glad that we dived into this. I'm gonna say for my list, I did try to keep it much more in vein of we know who it is all along. Like the spoiler warning I gave at the beginning.
Okay.
I did try to make it to where it's known all along. That was kind of how I formed it. Although I do have to admit that there is one that, because of who the what the film is and what it's about, it is kind of a shock reveal. But I mean, this
Yep.
you will know who it is when I you'll know what it is when I reveal it. But yeah, I did try to make it a little bit more about how obvious it is from the very beginning, and then how effective they portrayed it. And
Yeah.
I mean, that varies from film to film, but my focus was the effectiveness, the how it all plays together, and just what the film in itself entails. So I kind of skewed it towards obvious ones, but there is one that because of the film itself, it is treated as a shock reveal when it happens. But I think we'll let that slip when you see what the choice is. But bridge
Okay.
to cross when we get there. So I mean,
Yep.
that was kind of how I formed mine. I don't know how you formed yours.
I definitely that I'm glad you brought that up. A good mix are ones, we kind of know all along, but there definitely are a good amount of twists that I'll talk about. So maybe whenever I have one that's like a, a reveal or a twist, I'll just say spoiler, and then those listening, if you get scared and don't want to know, you can just fast forward a, a minute or so.
Sure, perfect. Yeah, that works. So, yeah, I guess we're ready to dive in. I always offer up, if you want to let me lead or if you want to take charge, would be up to
Yeah,
you.
go for it, Don. You can lead and I'll follow.
Perfect. All right. So, well, I guess this is kind of a little foretell because this is the one that's treated as a shock. My number 10 is Friday the 13th.
Ah.
So yeah, the original one, the old school 1980 classic, Mrs. Voorhees going on a rampage in Revenge of Her Son.
Yeah.
You don't really see her at all, and it's kind of hard to tell that it's actually her just from the few glimpses we see. I mean, the only real instance that we actually get of a figure is the one attack in the woods where the girl gets her throat slit. My
Right.
apologies. I'm not a person that's gonna know names or identities or anything like that.
Yeah.
I'm just
Especially with a
gonna,
movie like that, right? Forget
right?
it. There's too
Yeah.
many people.
Exactly. Yeah. I will. I'll give you as best of a setup as I can to know what I'm talking about. But yeah, it's the girl who gets her throat slit in the woods. That's kind of the only real scene where we get to know that it is woman. But the other scenes, you see the knife being raised, but you don't see the hand fully. You see the knife come up, but you don't see it.
Yep.
The axe blade rises, but you don't see the hands holding it. You just see it hit the lighting post behind the other girl, and then the
Yep.
other ones are kind of off screen, so you don't actually see anything happening like that. There's only real like one true instance that it is a woman, and that's kind of why it's late on my list where it's number 10, because it doesn't really showcase it as a woman. Everybody always says like the one scene where the counselor meets the person in the woods and gets stabbed, where
Yeah.
he kind of feels like you know who it is, but I mean, there's still no indication that it actually is a woman.
Yeah.
And you finally get the reveal at the very end. So
Yep.
it is kind of treated as a shock, but it's still one of the most iconic films for a reason. So it kind of deserved a place on my list. So I figured at number 10, just because, like I said, I kind of valued effectiveness and how it plays into the course of the film is one of my primary factors for
Got it.
ranking. So yeah, because we don't know who it is, and because it is treated as a surprise, I did put it at the back. It's not a ranking of the quality of the film, it's just based on how effective she is in the course of the film. So number 10 for me
Yeah.
is Friday the 13th.
Love that. And she is also on my list, Mrs. Voorhees. I can talk more about her when we get to her. She's higher up in my countdown, but I totally agree with what you're saying. And it's interesting that it's been a while since I've seen the movie in full, but the scene in the woods with that girl who gets her throat slit. I know we see more of the killer's kind of body, and I remember thinking, oh, okay, the killer's like thinner, but I didn't know for sure yet if it was a woman, but the killer definitely isn't this hulking, thing, So yeah, good call on how that's a good clue that it's either an older man, woman, like not like a young, big, thuggish guy, like in many of these movies,
All right, so yeah, you're number 10.
Okay, my 10 is, this is funny because this is randomly one of the first ones I thought of. Sci-fi horror, I'm going to go with Species. Natasha Henstridge was in Species 1 and 2, at least. I don't know if she was in any others. Those are the only ones I saw years
Cameo
ago.
appearance. She has a cameo appearance in 3, but she's not the primary focus.
Oh, wow. Look at you. Okay. Yeah.
She does have a cameo appearance in 3.
Okay. So, yeah, I've only seen 1 and 2, but she plays Syl, our insanely dangerous but super beautiful alien killer. I had to put her on the list because, I mean, talk about a femme fatale. She is naked throughout much of the movie. She is this robotic alien, and she is just slaying everyone while looking so good. I was like, I have to add her to my list. Now, it's been so long since I've seen Species. It's not a movie that I think about often, so that's why I wanted her to be at 10 because I wanted to give her a nod, wanted to give Syl some respect, but it's not like she's high on my list because, I'm in awe of her. It's still kind of a schlocky, not so great movie franchise, but yeah, just the way she is so vicious. I remember the way she kills the guy in the pool as he's trying to hook up with her. I think sexual violence is super, super scary in anything. And so to combine, romance and sex, and then all of a sudden she's, whipping her tail around and turning green and killing people, I just thought, wow, she's got to be on my list. So Species is number 10.
Nice. That is an honorable mention. I was debating whether or not to do it, but I veered more for human killers. That was sort of where my list was going. But no, it yeah it I was kind of unsure, do I treat it as her doing the killing or do I treat it as the creature doing the killing? And that was kind of a gray area, and I wasn't really that sure of it, but. It's still feminine enough for me to count it as a to count it. Like I said, it is an honorable mention, but yeah, my list is skewed a little bit more towards human killers, but that is not a bad pick at all. I'm definitely on board.
Yeah, love that. Yeah, I am the same way, Don. I mostly had human killers. You might hear from me later on about maybe one other killer who's not so human. So stay tuned for that.
All right. Well, I guess we'll move on. Like I said, I tried to limit this to human killers, but this one was a hard one to leave off. I'm a big fan of the movie. I absolutely love what it is, and it's one that for those that know me will know that I do go outside of the bounds every now and then. So the fact that this type of film sh appear it shouldn't be a surprise, but. My number 9 is a film by the name of Kironiko, or so it's also called The Cat in the Graveyard.
I've never seen it, but I've heard of that.
Okay, yeah. So it's for those that don't know, it's a 1968 or 69. You know how years are for foreign films. So it's a Japanese black and white film, and it's basically about these two women who are. Living out in the middle of the wilderness, they're out in the Badlands in the Japanese countryside, and they're approached by a group of samurai, raped and beaten and left for dead, and merge with this spectral cat being, which is where the name comes from, because that's black cat of the graveyard, and they merge with the spectral cat being, and they set about on a rampage, taking out each of the samurai that raped and killed them one by one. So it's kind of a precursor to Ju-on and Ringu. Spoiler alert, those are also honorable mentions, just because, like I said, I prioritized human killers, and female ghosts wasn't really part of the thing. But I again, feminine beings, feminine energy, that's still close enough for me to count. So like I said, Ju-on and Ringu are on my honorable mentions list, but I went with Kuroninko because I really love just the atmosphere of this one. And it's always been one of my longtime favorites. It's one of my favorite hidden gems from this countryside, because very few talk about old school Japanese horror. Everybody always, like I said, does Ringu, Ju-on, or if they want to go old school, they'll do Houzu. Well, this one's a decade older than Houzu. So like I said, it's one that very few know about, but it's got all of the attributes that you would expect in Japanese horror film about ghosts and specters and spirits. It's just a fantastic film. The girls are fantastic. I love, because it's a mother and daughter, but they play it up to where nobody knows who's who. So it allows each of them to take turns, seducing one of the guys, bringing them back, and killing them. So it's a fun little thing where it plays up the sensuality aspect of it, but it's still still routinely in that horror phase where it's always about the bad guys getting their comeuppance. And there's a side story where one of the guys who's kind of on the fence about it, didn't want to go through with it, he ends up falling in love with one of the girl. He falls in love with the daughter, but she can't go fall through with him because she's a spectral cat ghost and can't fall in love with a human. But she still plays with him enough to where it kind of just drags the film along, and it's a fun little subplot. So if you can find it, it's definitely worth watching. Again, the usual warnings. It's black and white, subtitled in Japanese. May not be for everybody, but if you appreciate these kinds of things, it's going to be right up your alley. And it's one of my favorite Asian horror films for a reason. So number nine is Kironiko, or A Black Cat in the Graveyard.
Wow, very cool. And where did you, how did you first watch it? Do you remember? Was it like streaming, or did you rent it from like the library? How'd you get your
No,
hands on it?
it was actually on Turner Classic Movies one day.
Oh, cool. Okay.
I for a majority of my childhood, I did not have a movie rental place, so I was at the mercy of what showed up on TV. And I remember it was on one Halloween marathon one year, and it was one of those where I was like, I don't really care what it is. It's, horror, it's Halloween, I'm gonna watch it. A channel I have, it's a horror movie. I've never seen it before. It's a horror movie. Why not? And I watched it and fell in love with it. And it's not the first Asian horror film I've seen, but it was one of the first ones that really got me into it. And like I said, I'm a huge Asian horror fan, so it's really one that kind of just kickstarted me on. I've seen it a few times since then. I believe it's a Criterion. I'm not sure if it's Blu-ray. I think I've seen the Criterion label attached to it, so maybe check them out if you're interested. But I do know that I originally saw it when it premiered on Turner Classic Movies for Halloween. I'm guessing it's going to be back sometime around 2008, 2009, late 80s, late two late aughts, early 2010s, in that area somewhere.
Cool. That's great. Love that. Okay. I'm adding it to my list as we speak.
Cool. All right. So yeah, you're number nine.
So then my number nine, it's hard to have a, conversation about, crazy scary women and not have an Oscar winner on the list. So I have to give it up. My number nine is for Kathy Bates as Annie in Misery. Obviously, she's a powerhouse. She has been for years. We have seen her more recently in American Horror Story and all sorts of things like that. But Misery, she is just so damn good. She's super kooky. We do not feel comfortable around her whatsoever. The sledgehammer scene to James Caan's feet, I mean, it's true horror thriller iconic moment right there. So I have to just give it up to Annie and how she is such a fan of his writing, of the Misery books, you know, that he wrote, that she loves the character so much that she doesn't like what he's doing with the character, you know, as he's writing a new book. She's just got major control issues. She does actually kill someone, because I wanted to make sure everyone, I'm pretty sure my list has at least killed one person in their individual films. She does kill the sheriff, the cop that comes in to maybe save the day, but we know those cops never end up getting very far, right? So she kills him, and then lots of fighting and a big, awesome, pretty over the top, you know, final fight. But she is just absolutely unhinged. And I love her so much, and I gotta give it up for Annie in Misery. She's my number 9.
Nice. She fell off my list when you mentioned one specific part, the lack of a body count.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah, that was kind of her undoing. At least as far as how my list was concerned, just as, you know, she's much more of a, you know, for lack of a better term, she holds him hostage rather than actually acts as a killer.
Yeah.
And for me, I personally, for my list, I kept her off just because she doesn't have the body count. But
yeah, her numbers are low.
Yeah, I cannot disagree with anything else in there. Just, you know, that one line, she only kills the one person. That kind of a lack of a body count is what did her in on my list. But I absolutely loved everything else about her. I mean, you know, if we were going by most unsettling female, you know, protagonists, I mean, one, two.
Right.
But,
yeah.
You know,
he's up there.
Yeah. I mean, if we're talking most unsettling female protagonists, one, two, maybe three, if I really thought about it. But
right.
If we're going by favorite killers, then, you know, she doesn't have the body count for my list. But I have no other issues against it. That's a damn fine pick. And I really wanted her on there. But like I said, the body count kept her down.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Totally. I totally hear you. And it's funny. I was listening to one of your other recent episodes, the most unsettling film. And I totally agree. And that's why I wanted to have an Oscar winner on this list. You brought up Hereditary and Toni Collette, who it's crazy. She has not won any Oscar because she's excellent in everything, but especially for Hereditary. So I was like, you know what? I got to have an Oscar winner in here and just, you know, shine a light on that, because we need more horror at the Academy Awards, please.
Exactly. I cannot preach that loudly enough.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, yeah, moving on to my number 8. I kind of figured it would be time to have a little bit of fun with this one. And yeah. My next three are kind of a nice little bit of kooky, off-kilter, and, you know, just kind of, you know, the fun, silly female.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, this is going to be a small little run here. They're going to have a very similar theme. And my number 8, I'm going to actually start with Sleepaway Camp 2, Unhappy Campers.
Nice. You know, I've actually never seen Sleepaway Camp 2, so this is great. Tell me about it.
Okay, so basically it's a group of counselors running a summer camp, and one of them is a deranged psychopath who kills them. I mean, that is literally the plot. this is one where we know who the killer is 2 minutes into the film. It is Angela, who's, you know, from part one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Played by a different person, but it's the same character. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's basically just, you know, her running into people that disrespect the rules of the camp and meet a gruesome end. I mean, it is the literal definition of a body count movie. It's just one of those goofy, silly, you know, late 80s camp fests that just you either love them or hate them. And this is one that I fall into the love camp, just because it's just so over the top and ridiculous. I mean, the deaths are just ludicrously bizarre and overly complicated. There is no way on earth that anybody's not going to notice the missing bodies, which is a running gag in the film, that everybody's like, well, what happened to the so-and-so? And she just, you know, she'll pop up and say, they just went home. And it, yeah. You know, it's just dropped like that, you know, not gonna, you know, spoil too much, but yeah, it becomes like a running gag where, you know, that sort of thing happens. And it's basically just down to who's left, essentially. But yeah, I'm not gonna, you know, spoil too much. But yeah, I prefer this one over the original, just in the sense that the original treats it as a mystery, and it's really only, you know, the final shots which kind of confirms everything. This one, like I said, I prioritized, you know, knowing who it is and how it plays out, and this one is just silly, goofy, wacky fun. You know, it's late 80s. There's homages to all of the big, you know, franchise killers. There's a, I'm sure you've seen the poster. There's, you know, Jason's hockey mask.
Yes. How fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is a, that does play a factor in one of the big scenes in the film. That is not just, you know, publicity material. That it actually does play into the film as a whole. So,
wow. Okay. I really got to watch.
Yeah, I'll leave that as a final enticing little tidbit there.
Wow.
It's not quote unquote the exact same, but it's one of those where they rip it off enough to where you get the gist of what the joke is. So as an enticing little thing, the, you know, horror items that you see on the poster artwork do factor into the film as a whole, in one sequence at least. So yeah. Okay. I'll leave it at that. My number 8 is Sleepaway Camp 2, Unhappy Campers.
Wow. Love it. Love it. And I'm so glad you have some fun ones on your list, because I do too, for sure. You got to have the guilty pleasures. Okay. Yeah. So my number 8 is not a guilty pleasure. It's actually, you know, I finally saw this movie for the first time within maybe the last 2 years. I was super behind on it. It is quite disturbing. I'm pretty sure you've talked about it on your show before in another countdown, but I have to have, I believe the character's name is Asami from Audition. Audition is number 8 on my list. Absolutely insane movie. A very scary, spooky, super creeped out by this killer woman who we know all along she's not super quote unquote normal. She's a little off. She's a little strange. And it's a slow burn for a bit there. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to really, you know, stick with this, but I'm so glad I did. Although it is truly a movie for me where those last few minutes, maybe the last 20 minutes or so, I feel like I was barely watching. I was like watching through all of my fingers, closing my eyes. I could maybe see a tiny sliver of the screen. I don't love needles at all. I have a big phobia. So this movie really, really, really was a lot for me. I'm just so impressed with it, right? And she is scary. And again, maybe not the highest body count, but we know she's done some damage to other guys in the past, right? With the whole sack with like another guy missing his, you know, body parts. Like, just wow, what an absolutely disturbing movie. And I just have to give it up for Asami. Oh my God, Audition is no joke. So that's my number 8.
Nice. Another one that, as you eloquently put it, the body count isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this could be, you know, again, and, you know, most unsettling female protagonists, top 5. The top 5 for sure. But body count is that is a damaging factor for a couple of, for me at least, that was a damaging factor. But in every other regard, again, I cannot disagree with anything you said. Those sequences are just so masterfully well done that as you're saying, you know, I'm most unsettling. There's just nothing you can, you know, you're either glued to the screen or you're covering your eyes. And it's just fantastic. Yeah. One of my favorites for a reason. But as I've said before, the body count does her in. But in every other regard, yeah, don't disagree in the slightest.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Yeah. All right. So as I was saying, these next few are kind of in the fun mode. Mm-hmm. And this was one that I first I remember watching this, I think, right around the time it came out. Forgot all about it, and I ended up getting a screener for it when it was released, when it just got released last year. Rediscovered it and fell in love with it. It's just one, you know, again, it's wild and wacky and goofy. Not necessarily one I don't think a lot have seen, but if you have a chance to, definitely give it a shot. My number 7 is 2010's All About Evil.
Oh, who's in that, Don?
Natasha Lyonne.
Okay, it's Natasha Lyonne. All right, I have not seen it, but I've heard about this. It's from 2010? Holy crap.
Yep, I
I
know.
thought that was more recent. Oh my God, time is flying. Okay, yeah, I have not
I
seen
know.
this, but tell me about it. It looks fun.
Oh, it is. So basically, it's about a woman that absolutely lives for cinema. She, is a recluse. She doesn't go out. She doesn't, date or anything like that. She basically is, in this small town, basically lives at the movie theater. She's best friends with the usher, the owner, and all of that. And suddenly the owner dies and decides that he's not going to, he's not going to be able to run the theater anymore. So she ends up taking matters into her own hands and decides to run it herself. Only problem is, she inadvertently airs the security footage of the incident when the owner died. And in a process of just weird camera angles and just, sheer dumb luck, it inadvertently looks as if she had actually killed him. When it was a natural accident, everything is fine and cleared, but it makes it look like she had inadvertently killed him. And that gives her the idea to start running homemade horror shorts in between screenings to keep the theater going, where she makes it seem as if she passed it on to him. She pa you know he passed it on to her. She's running it now, and she's gonna keep the theater going, but she's gonna air these homemade shorts that she makes every week as, kind of like a little buffer to draw the audience in to, give them the scares and shocks or whatever. And so it basically is, her kidnapping people off the streets and, making them be part of the experience and using them as, making her own snuff films while nobody's the wiser. Everybody's just absolutely in awe of what she does. And this college student who ends up as, this big horror movie fan, he suddenly starts catching on to the idea that maybe there's something more nefarious going on and tries to get to the bottom of it. So it's a really wild and kind of out there idea where you see all of her scenes being played out as, her and her, like the staff is kind of like on board. And she goes through this process where she, screens, theater workers to, man the popcorn machine, take tickets, ushers, that sort of thing. But they're all in on the act with her as just these deranged, these deranged psychos who go around killing people. And they film it as, like it's just, they're actually killing people, but the whole thing is being played off as they're making, like, I don't know, artistic horror shorts. And it's actually these snuff movies about, her and this team going around killing the locals and all that. So yeah, it's kind of a really fun kind of a, like goofy idea where, if you've seen Natasha Lyonne go unhinged, she, she plays into that perfectly. It's kind of a really wild and over the top one. And yeah,
That's
the
so
film.
fun.
Yeah, the film is really, it's fun time, great, it, flies by. It's, you don't think of it as long as it is. And yeah, I had a blast with it. Like I said, I really remember, I saw it once, really liked it, didn't think much of it and forgot about it. Got the screener for it, and yeah, I just fell in love with it again. And it just, is this fun time and, really worth a shot if you can find it. I think it's on Tubi or Prime. So yeah, it's out there if you want to watch it, but yeah, it's just, well, it, if you're into this kind of thing, it's a really fun time. So
Yeah, it sounds so fun. I just can't believe it's already that old. Oh my gosh, it doesn't feel like it came out that long ago, but it's been on my radar. I really do have to watch that. And Natasha Lyonne, I mean, she can do no wrong. She's such an interesting actress, you know?
right, yeah.
Love it.
All right, yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, you're number eight.
Let's see. Are we on? Oh, we're on seven,
Number
right?
seven, seven, yeah,
Yeah,
number
number seven.
seven.
Okay. So my seven is also a fun one. This movie I recently talked about on my podcast. She is so memorable. It's not like the best movie ever, don't get me wrong, but it is always a joy to rewatch. And that movie is Urban Legend. And spoiler alert, everybody, because this movie is a whodunit in the wake of obviously the popularity of Scream. this is like a true Scream knockoff. You could there I've even talked about how like you can compare characters and how they are basically the exact same from Scream to Urban Legend. But spoiler, spoiler, the end, we get the killer reveal. I won't say too much, but Rebecca Gayheart, she is acting for the gods, honey. That's what I say when we are just big and bold and acting for the last row to see us. And she is our crazy, crazy intense killer on campus. It's an act of revenge. Obviously, she's killing friends in the style of Urban Legends. Her eyes are bugging out. It is true camp. Her hair gets bigger and bigger. She's got these big, beautiful curls, if you remember Rebecca Gayheart in the late 90s. And everything is just getting bigger. Mouth, eyes, hair, volume. And it's a truly fun performance. And I just have to give her some love because when I first saw that around, probably around like 11 years old, I mean, my jaw was just dropped. I mean, she took what Matthew Lillard did in Scream during his reveal, spoiler, spoiler, during his reveal, and she said, okay, I can outdo that. And so sometimes you just gotta have a crazy, campy killer queen in your list. And that is Rebecca Gayheart for me as Brenda Bates.
Nice. I definitely don't disagree in the slightest. Didn't make my list, but I'm always on board for, the wild and over the top ones.
Yeah. And she did have a high body count, so you'll appreciate that.
Absolutely. Again, she actually fell victim to the second one that I had where I didn't like the idea that it was the reveal of it being a woman. That was kind of, for me, that was where she is, but
Yeah, because yeah, the killer,
there's
we have the hooded coat, it's cold and
right
with the gloves,
it's
so
yeah it
it's presenting very male for sure.
right yeah that to me was, like I said, I kind of favor those two, but in every regard, yeah, I absolutely love her. She's fantastic. I actually prefer that one over a lot of the Scream movies, actually.
Okay, yeah. I could see that. Some of the sequels, especially, yeah. Urban Legends, it's not a bad movie.
No.
It's just it really is a copycat, but it's quite fun. Some really good deaths and it's definitely effective at times for sure. So, yeah, gotta give it some
Absolutely, yeah.
love.
Absolutely, yeah. I left her off a list, and I'm kind of I'm a little disappointed I couldn't, but I'm definitely glad you got her on there, 'cause
Good.
I'm a big fan as well.
Yeah.
All right. All right, so like I said, this is the last of the fun ones. And maybe this is not necessarily your definition of fun. It's a little bit more serious than the other two.
Okay.
But for me, I absolutely love and adore Debbie Rochon. She is one of my all-time favorite Scream queens. And this is Debbie Rochon being Debbie Rochon at her best. And again, like I said, this is not one that a lot have seen. But this for me is one of my all-time favorites, and it's one of my all-time favorites of hers, especially. I went with 2015's Axe to Grind.
Oh, okay. I don't know that.
Like I said, it's not an obvious one. It's very under the radar. It's very indie, but like I said,
That's great.
this one's more personal for me, just because, like I said, I absolutely love Debbie Rochon. She's one of my favorites. She's probably maybe like a notch below Linnea Quigley, Brink Stevens, Michelle Bauer, like that kind of crop. She's like a
Okay.
notch below them. So
Okay.
like it's so if like I'm saying, if you're thinking of like the hierarchy of Scream Queens, Jamie Lee, Neve Campbell, like that's like the big tier, and then like the crop below was Quigley, Bauer, Brink, then
Yep.
Debbie's the rung below her. So
Okay. Okay. Love it.
That's kind of where, like I said, the hierarchy of where we are with this. But she's always been one of my favorites. I've always loved her just because she actually seemed like she was more of an actress than the others, where she was, she went crazier and she actually made it look more believable. Like there's a few films of hers, and I mean, I've got tons of hers. She's actually twice now been the most watched actress on my Letterboxd account.
Oh, wow.
She's actually been, I think, 2 years, at least since I've started doing it, because I've had it since I think 2000, 15 or 16. At least that's when I first made it. So I think in at least 2 years since I've done it, she's been my most watched actress. So yeah,
Oh, wow.
I do have a few favorites of hers, but this one's one of my favorites. So basically, this one is she is a housewife who's married to this sleazy horror producer who's about ready to start her new movie and is about ready to, like I said, start his new movie with a role that she had been originally cast in. But he ends up replacing her with a younger actress. So he rewrites the role and uses that as the motivation to actually set up a divorce because he's now actually, in bed with the other actress. And she ends up killing her ex-husband, and then assumes the role on the film set when they actually get to shoot. And, the idea is, she claims that, he came to his senses, hired her instead, and is using this as the parting gift because the divorce is public, so everybody knows that part. They don't know the death or the she's killed him, but they know that the divorce has been set up. So he went back on his word, fired her, and fired the other actress and rehired his ex, to give her off, one final send off, and that'll be that. And it just turns into, her going crazy, snapping and killing the other actresses on the actors and actresses one by one. So if you're familiar with Debbie Rochon's work, you'll know that she just absolutely does the, I'm gonna snap and go crazy. It's some fun to watch. I love just seeing her just like, snap and go crazy and play unhinged. And that's pretty much what this is because, she's trying her hardest not to let it on that she's the killer. But, again, all the signs are obvious just because she's just that unhinged. But yeah, I've always just, like I said, been a huge fan of her. This is one of my favorite roles of hers, and it's one that I really wanted to highlight and shout out. So
Love it.
number six is again, this is another one that's on Tubi or Prime, so it's out there if you want to watch it. But number six for me is Axe to Grind.
Love it. Cool. I'm learning so much. I'm like adding to my list. I love these deeper cuts. I actually have a deeper cut, slightly at least. It's not a movie that's talked about a ton. You probably have seen it, Don, or at least have heard about it. I forget when it came out. It probably came out a good 10 years ago already, or actually maybe even longer. It might have been like 2010 or so. Again, foreign, so you're not totally sure, but it's an Australian film called The Loved Ones. And holy cow, do you know that one? Have you seen it, Don?
Yeah, honorable mention, actually.
Oh, good. Okay, cool. Yeah, wow. Vicious movie, everybody. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Although it's a little bit like Audition for Me, where I had to watch through, fingers
Oh yeah.
to see some of this gnarly stuff. But I
I
just want to,
remember this. I remember.
right? Yes. Even the poster, one of the posters is the actress I'm about to tell you about. She plays Lola as the character. The actress's name is Robin McCleavy, I believe. And one of the posters for the film, I remember, it might have been like the main poster, is her in her pink prom dress, and I think she has a little crown, and she's got the drill, and she's pointing it right to us, right to the camera. And I was like, oh boy, what is this? It is a gnarly movie. Again, you might not love it, Don. Doesn't have the highest body count, although she has terrorized men, multiple men, we find out. Spoiler, spoiler. So I won't go into that too much. That was a crazy reveal. But we know all along, that she's not well. So there's not a big reveal that she's the killer or anything. Her and her father are awful, terrible psychopaths, and they go after this cute boy from school who Lola really has a crush on, but he does not reciprocate. And he is tied to the chair in the kitchen. And they do all sorts of terrible things to him, including, like I said, that drill. There's some drill action. It's brutal. It's fun. I've only seen it, I think, once, but it really stuck with me, as you can imagine, since she's my number six. It's a movie where, like, I like it, but I don't know if I have the stomach to really watch it again. It's been so long. I think I could, but I might regret it. it's rough. So, yeah, the loved ones. It's a prom night at home from hell. It is totally insane, brutal, brutal. And Lola, what a character, what an actress. She is truly unhinged. So, had to give her some love.
Absolutely, yeah. Again, that, damn dreaded body count, you kind of creeps up and ruins a lot, but yeah, I can't disagree again. Again, this is another fantastic killer. The deranged psychopath just holding them hostage. Her rants are just fantastic. I
Oh
mean,
my gosh.
they go from, you feel sorry for her at first, and then just the more it goes on, you kind of start getting that unhinged feeling, and it's like, yeah, she's about to screw somebody over, and I don't know if I want to be on the end, the receiving end of it. Yeah, just another one where, again, if we're going with unsettling female protagonists, she's on my list for definite. But yeah, damn body count. Maybe I should have refigured my qualifications,
No,
but
I think no, I think this is
yeah.
good, you know. It shows that yeah, you have high number standards and I'm okay with lower numbers, you know.
Yeah.
But no, I think that's great. But
But
it's
yeah,
a
no,
great. I'm glad you've seen it and you like it too.
yeah,
It's so
I
good.
do, like I said, I do have it as an honorable mention, but again, I hate that I have such great, choices as honorable mentions, but yeah, I don't disagree in the slightest, but
Yeah,
yeah, move
very
on.
memorable for sure.
Yeah, move on to my number five, and I do promise this is where you're probably going to start being more familiar with my choices. Yeah, again, enough of the obscure underground films.
That's okay.
I have a feeling you're probably going to recognize most of these.
And you for me as well. I'm going with some bigger ones now, like the iconic ones. Yeah. Okay, go for
Yeah,
it.
same here. So, we'll start off with my number five. This is kind of a I shudder to call it a shock reveal. We know it's a woman all along, but there is a reveal involved here, and you'll know what I mean when I say my number five is 2009's Orphan. So, I
Oh,
mean,
okay.
yeah.
Honorable mention for me, so this is great. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, there we go. So yeah, you know what I mean. So we initially think that it's a child doing this, but the reveal is that it's actually not a child. But that doesn't make what goes on in here any less interesting. I love the setup. Just, she's fantastic at what she does. The, doting innocent child who kind of, melts up her father, and it's just absolute terror to everything else. I have fun with it. I could probably say the sequel as well, but I think the original does it better. So yeah, I went
Yeah,
with
you know, I enjoyed the sequel, but I haven't really thought about it as much as that first film, you know?
Right,
And
yeah.
I didn't see the first film in theater, so I think I did have it spoiled for me. I think I did, you know, hear. It was hard to not hear, you know, that oh, actually you find out, you know, blah 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 about her.
Right,
So, but
yeah.
still, even kind of like knowing that or having like a feeling like I think I saw that in an article, it's still, you know, such a fun movie, but it's also like truly, you know, it's fun and kind of campy and over the top, but like it's a good, thrilling like horror movie. She's got a high body count, and I mean, it's fun to watch.
For sure. Yeah, that's why it's number five. So yeah, move on to your number five.
Yeah, good choice. Cool. So number five, I have this is probably, yeah, my last kind of like quote unquote fun one before we get more serious. Although I have some fun ones as well. But this is like the most fun is I have to give love to whenever I think of like killer women, I always think of she this woman I'm about to tell you about is always on the forefront. She's always one of the first I think of, and that is Kathleen Turner playing Beverly Sutphin in the movie Serial Mom. Total comedy. I don't even think it's really a horror comedy, but it's a killer comedy by the great John Waters. Have you seen this one, Don? I'm sure you have.
Number 11.
Oh, okay, number 11 for you. There you go. See?
Number 11.
Yeah. So I love this. I'm going to be talking about it because it's turning 30 this year in April. I'm going to talk about it on my show because we talk about movies that are celebrating, you know, big anniversaries like that. And I saw this at a young age. I think it was probably on HBO or somewhere, maybe even, you know, pay-per-view, and we would, you know, rent movies on the TV. But you know, I just remember my dad laughing, cackling at this movie, and it was such a joy. So it's been with me for a long time. She is so great. You know, she's on the phone with a neighbor, Pussy Willis. Like, she's such a troublemaker and she's so unhinged. And you'll appreciate she does have a pretty good body count. I'm looking here since it's been a while since I've seen. Yeah, she kills about seven people. You know, and I won't get into detail, but it's everything from, you know, stabbing, bludgeoning, running someone over with a car. I mean, as a kid, I was having so much fun with Beverly. So she's such a great female killer. And oh my God, I mean, the lines, it's John Waters dialogue. I mean, it's just so quotable. It's so much fun. It's crazy. It's a crazy movie. So she's my number five.
I don't disagree. Yeah, she just threw nothing wrong with her. I could have put her on the list very easily. I just had other options. She just fell out because there's too many.
Yeah,
Like I
you know
said,
what that
yeah.
that was a nice surprise, because you know, when I brought this up to you, obviously we have, you know, a bunch that come to mind right away, but then I'm like, ooh, am I gonna have 10? And then I realized, like, oh my God, I have like yeah, and especially now what you're saying with some of these deep cuts, I mean, there's actually a lot, you know. I just feel like sometimes they get a little overshadowed by, you know, the guys, you know. But yeah,
Absolutely,
we got
yeah.
a lot of good options. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. This one was not one that fell by the wayside because I didn't think the body count was there, because the film ended up being a whodunit and the reveal is the killer. Yeah,
Yep.
she just fell off because there's too many options. Yeah, she
Yeah.
was literally my number 11. So yeah, I'm
Love it.
definitely on board with that one, yeah. All right, so we'll move on to number four. And this is one that I don't know what more I can say about it. This is one of my favorite films of the last it's probably one of my favorite films of the 2000s, that whole decade. And I love what it does. I love the killer. I love how everything plays out. And if you know me, this is a holiday horror movie. So that's
Oh,
always gonna
fun.
It's always going to get extra points. My number four is 2008's Inside.
Wow, I'm so glad you're talking about this, Don, because I still haven't seen it and I'm kicking myself. I even wanted to watch it this Christmas, and I realized after the holidays were over, I was like, oh my God. But I feel like I can, I mean, even though it's holiday, I could probably just watch it whenever, whatever. But,
Yeah, it's one that for me, I look it's a holiday horror movie, but it's not one that plays with it as much as others. So
Yeah.
yeah, it's not an important film to watch for the holidays. It's one you can, you know, throw on anytime. But
Right.
the thing is that it's just one that you know, it's a film that just happens to take place on December 24th. So that's the
Wow.
Yeah, I will say that it's a film that just happens to take place on December 24th. You can literally set this on June 15th and
Yeah.
nothing is going to change. That's kind
Yeah.
of how I look at it.
That's
So,
great. It's not like Black Christmas where it's like you kind of need to see that around the holidays. You know, it's like
It's
so,
not
you
a
know, yeah.
Black Christmas. It's not a Krampus. It's a film that
Yeah.
I can literally take this film, everything shot for shot, and set it on June 16th, and nothing is going to change. I mean, you know,
Wow.
you're going to miss a couple shots of the Christmas tree in the background, and you know, there's a scene where
Yeah.
some guy trips over, you know, one of the presents left underneath. But I mean, you can literally replace that with a chair and get the same effect. So it's
Yeah.
one where it's set on a holiday, and I love holiday horror movies. I mean, you've heard two episodes already this season about it. But yeah, it's not one that requires the holiday to, you know, you can still view it whenever. But yeah, I'm a huge fan of this movie. It just the brutality, the unrelenting nature of it all, and the entire thing. You know, I'm not gonna spoil it too much, but the entire thing is a very maternal, you know, focused idea, which you know, that
Yeah.
just makes everything more terrifying. So no
Oh
spoilers
no.
on that. If you've seen it, you know what I mean. But yeah, number four for me is Inside.
Wow, I'm I'm just like kicking myself. Why have I not seen that movie yet? Even the poster though freaks me out because it's a French film, right?
Right.
Yeah, that French horror is no joke. I mean, they do not hold back. So I think I'm just kind of nervous because, you know, I love horror, but when it gets a little too gross, I'm like, ugh, but I really want to watch that. And I think, am I right, Don? Did they remake that like a few years later and it wasn't so
Yeah.
good? Okay.
Yeah, I think the remake is 2015, 16.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't hear much about it, but I saw like the poster and I'm like, I feel like that's probably a remake of the probably better version, right? Yeah. Okay. All right, so my number four, I'm going with a big crowd pleaser. The remaining ones I have, like I was saying, these are like kind of classics and most people will know them. So this one, number four, I just feel like she's not. Well, she was human. She's pretty ghosty, so sorry about that. But she is just such an iconic killer, truly terrifying. Saw this movie in the theater, opening weekend in high school, and everyone was talking about it on Monday. Everyone. Huge movie, beautiful movie, shot very well, and just truly, truly scary. And I have to give it up for The Ring. And also Ringu, so you can kind of combine, you know, both, but especially the American remake, The Ring, it had a big effect on me. Like I said, it was the talk of the town where I grew up amongst friends, amongst classmates. I mean, people said they were crying in the theater. And so I have to give some love to Samara, this killer little girl, truly terrifying, all soaking wet and all gross from the well. And we know it's her right from the beginning because we have that pretty iconic opening with our two girls, Amber Tamblyn, and I forget the other actress's name, but they're watching that video or they're talking about the video, and then things get weird, and we see that long black hair. And I just think it's a really great mystery and investigation as Naomi Watts is trying to piece it all together. I think it is such a great movie, and she is just so spooky. And what she does to her victims. I mean, when you see these bodies, those brief, you know, jarring cuts to the aftermath. Wow. So Samara in the Ring, number four for me.
Yeah, I don't disagree. My focus was on more human figures, but like I said earlier with my Kurt Nickel pick, I don't disagree with Ringu and Ju-on. I'm a huge fan. They're both again amongst my favorite Asian horror films. So yeah, I completely understand and agree with including them. Just like I said, my focus was on more humanoid ones, but again, if I opened up the field, I'd have them on there for sure.
Yeah.
Right, so I'll move on to my number three, and this is one that I struggle putting it this high, mainly because this is one where it's not just the female in particular, but there's other killers as well. So it's a family of killers, but I absolutely love the performance in here, and I think that goes a long way. Plus, I think the film itself was really good, so I mean that kind of helps, having a good film to back you up. But I went with 2005's The Devil's Rejects.
Oh, okay.
And
Yeah. A movie I have not finished. I started it and I don't know. I know people love it, but I can't get into it. So tell me more and maybe I'll finally finish.
So like I said, I know it's not necessarily about, her because, it's about, Otis and,
Right.
Papa Spaulding. But to me, I love Baby in this one. I think she's better here than in the original where she has a little bit more to work with. The family interplay because we spend more time with them where, it's a road movie. We're with them specifically the entire time. They're, traveling along the highways and, they, encounter all the, random strangers that they do. I can see where it kind of would lose you just because it is kind of like this meandering, just, road movie. There's no real like plot or anything. It's just, what are they gonna, what sadistic activities are they gonna do next? But
Right.
For me, I like this one a little bit more than I do House of a Thousand Corpses, where it just
I
feels.
will agree with you there for sure. Yeah, House of a Thousand Corpses is okay, but yeah.
House just seemed more in love with homaging zombies' favorite movies than doing anything original, which is not a bad thing, but that's just my personal feeling of it. It was just more like, hey, I've seen Texas Chainsaw, hey, I've seen, all of these backwoods, these 70s, family films, here, it doesn't really do much of anything else, but I prefer Rejects just because it feels more like it's this own identity. It takes them away from the house, it puts them, it gets them on the road, and I like a lot of the interactions that go on there, and it allows Baby to come off unhinged a little bit more than, just this cackling woman that had this affinity for, mermaid play. But yeah, that's, again, that you get that in the original, but I do like what it does here. And I'm like I said, I love Baby in this one. That's kind of, like I said, one of the reasons why I wanted it on the list. Could it be lower? Probably, because it's not just her specifically, it's the rest of the family. I mean,
That's all right. Yeah.
probably say that,
She
but
still
yeah, like
counts.
yeah like I said, it's still just, I wanted to put it on there for a reason. So
Yeah.
yeah, number three for me is Devil's Rejects.
That's great. Love that. And yeah, many people I've talked to love that. So you are definitely not alone. Would you say that's Rob Zombie's best film or one of his best?
I'm in the minority. I actually prefer Lords of Salem as my favorite.
I'm so glad you said that. I haven't seen all of his films, but I think that is one of his strongest. That movie was definitely creepy and interesting, and yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up because not a lot of people talk about that one. So, yeah.
Well, for me, personally, I'm actually much more of a Euro horror fan, and I love the Italian influences in there. It feels very much like a Fulci film on acid, which
Oh,
I do
yeah.
like.
Yeah. Well said.
I'm a massive Fulci fan, so a film that gives me that kind of a vibe is one that I'm going to gravitate towards. I also think it has the strongest story to it, which is always zombies, falling. Downfall is that he never really has, much of anything. It's just he has great ideas and he has, a great aesthetic. I love him as a filmmaker, but I don't like him as a writer. So yeah, having, this one be his strongest story, I think, is one of the big factors for me. Again, with that, Euro horror aesthetic. So I do prefer Lords of Salem, although I'd probably say this one could be his next best. Maybe Halloween, but it's at least two or three, I would say.
Yeah, cool. That's great. Yeah, I'm glad you gave a little Lords of Salem shout out because that movie was very interesting. Okay, so let's see. What are we on? Three. So my number three, I hope you are okay with me just kind of like bending the rules a little bit, which these movies do actually. That's a little accidental clue for what I'm about to talk about. I'm talking about specifically two female killers in the same franchise, and there have been a few female killers. So, spoiler warning, everybody, this is one of those that Don might not love because it's a killer reveal, but I can't not talk about especially one woman, but I'll do a brief mention of a second woman tied for three. The female killers of Scream. I love the Scream franchise as many of us do. It's so special. I made a Scream fan film that's actually, I think, my most popular short that I've made. Love the franchise so much. And so I am putting at number three, Laurie Metcalf as Mrs. Loomis. Again, spoiler, spoiler. So hopefully you're fast forwarding if you haven't seen this 26-year-old movie by now. But I love it. It's a nod to Friday the 13th, like you've mentioned, Killer Mommy. She is so unhinged, but I feel for her because Laurie Metcalf is just such a great actress. I love her in pretty much anything she does. I love the white suit, so it's still a little campy, but it's that great Kevin Williamson script and Wes Craven direction that like it can walk that line between a little campy, a little silly, but also super intense. You feel for the actors, you feel for her and how, as she tells Neve Campbell as Sydney, her motive You get it. You're like, oh, wow, geez, it's heavy, you know? So I have to give Mrs. Loomis some love because she is my favorite Ghostface killer in the whole franchise. And then a quick mention, also tied for number three, a little less so, but just a quick mention, another spoiler, everybody. Scream 4's killer, Jill Roberts, played by Emma, oh my gosh, Emma Roberts.
Roberts.
No, yeah, oh yeah. I should know that. Emma Roberts, Jill Roberts. Jill is Sydney's cousin, and I will not say much, but I thought her reveal was actually quite surprising. I did not see that coming. I know the fourth one, you know, isn't as strong as the first two, which is typical for a franchise, but I think I don't think there's a bad sequel in the Scream franchise, which is rare for horror. But another unhinged performance, and I think her line, I don't need friends, I need fans, and her whole quest for fame and to kind of ride the coattails, I thought really, you know, was ahead of its time. So again, props to Kevin Williamson. So those two female killers, there are more, but those two are very special to me. They're on a t-shirt I'm wearing right now, if you could see it. So yeah, the Scream female killers, Mrs. Loomis and Jill, I just got to give them some love because they are next level for me. So there you go.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I actually do prefer Miss Metcalf over Billy and Stu.
Oh,
I
love
do.
it, Don. Yes,
Yeah.
yes,
Well, I'm one of those that I actually have a lot of issues with the original. I actually
Oh,
do
okay.
prefer two.
Yeah,
I
okay,
actually do
cool.
prefer. I as a whole, I do prefer two. And I'm even going to be even more controversial when I say six is my favorite in the franchise.
Oh, cool. I am okay with that. For me, it goes one and two are basically tied. I guess I'll put one first. I probably have seen that one the most, but 1, 2, 6. So yeah, we're alike in that way.
I go 6-2-1. So,
Okay, cool. Wow, six. Love
but
it.
yeah, I'm a big fan. So yeah, I do appreciate that.
That's great. Yeah, I had to
Yeah.
give it some love. So there you go.
Awesome. All right. Yeah. So I'll move on to my number two, and this is one that I couldn't realistically put at number one. I see no reason why most wouldn't, but I have my own burgeoning hormonal reasons for including this one regardless.
Okay.
Yeah, my number two is Tiffany in Bride of Chucky.
Oh my gosh, how funny. She was almost an honorable mention for me, but I actually took her off because I thought, well, she's a doll and nah, I won't talk about it. But I love that she's on your list, Don. Yes.
I have hormonal reasons for including Jennifer Tilly. I'll just leave it at that. I saw the movie at 14, so let's just well I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay.
I mean, it's Tiffany. I can spend hours here eloquating you on why you should want to watch Bride of Chucky, but I can't do justice. I've talked about this on other shows. I've shared my love of Bride of Chucky. It's one of my all-time favorite films.
I love that.
It's the movie that actually got me into horror. And there's
Oh, cool.
a story that with that one. I talked about it on a show called My First Horror Film on Sledgehammer Horror. You can find that on YouTube if you want. I go in depth on that.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, I absolutely love this movie and you know, Tiffany in particular. So
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know what else I can say, but number two is Tiffany and Bride of Chucky.
I think that's so great. I love that you love her and Jennifer Tilly. And also, I mean, Jennifer Tilly might not be a scream queen because we typically refer to, well, we typically think of scream queens as like the victim, you know, like Sydney, like Neve Campbell and Jamie Lee Curtis. But yeah, I mean, the Chucky franchise and with the show and everything, so many decades later, and she's still part of it. Jennifer Tilly is right there next to Brad Dourif as, you know, so like, yeah, I'm so glad she's on your list because it's hard to talk about women in horror and not even mention her, right?
Yeah, and I mean, if you even wanted to stretch the boundaries of Scream Queen from, you know, the protagonist, the one that gets chased, to include the definition of the ones who make us scream, I think you can probably include her under that qualification if you were so inclined to use it. But for me, like I said, it was hard to overlook her in this one. So, yeah, that's number great. Two, Tiffany and Bride of Chucky.
Love it. Love it. I co-sign. Okay, my number two, I'm going to bend the rules a little bit again, and this is sort of like a tie. We have to talk about Carrie. We have to talk about Sissy Spacek as the titular Carrie. Talk about a body count. Talk about an accidental killer, because yes, anyone long before I actually finally saw the movie, when I was probably, like middle school age, I had, everyone knows the ending. I mean, it's very hard to not have heard like, oh yeah, she like kills everyone in the gym. Right. So that's a spoiler, but I mean, I'm sure everyone kind of knows that. Right. But wow, I just love this performance. We feel for her off the bat. We know exactly what she's going through. All these awful, awful bullies at school. I mean, right in the beginning, this awful bathroom scene that happens to her. So right from the get-go, you feel for her. You know what she's going through. You want her to be happy. And these powers that she has, they want something else. And all the pressure and all the stress. And then that damn bucket of pig's blood at the prom. Oh, and then they're all going to laugh at you and things go crazy. And I love that movie. I love it, love it, love it. Brian De Palma with the split screen and Sissy Spacek's eyes. I mean, it is really special. So Carrie is my number two. And as a little tie, same movie, spoiler, if you haven't seen this old movie, the crazy, and I hadn't read the book before I saw the movie. I did read the book later. But then the crazy twist that her own mother with that huge knife, Margaret, I think that's, Piper Laurie plays Margaret, with that huge knife coming at her, stabbing her in the back. She is trying to kill the devil, because she's so religious. That might have actually, I think that terrified me even more. That here comes Carrie back home after this awful thing she just did when she lost control. And now her mom, in the name of religion, is just going after her daughter. I mean, it's haunting. It's truly haunting. So the White girls, Carrie and Margaret White, you're my number two.
Nice. Yeah. I like Carrie. I'm not the biggest fan.
Oh, okay.
It was one that I never really put on because, she doesn't really initiate the killings. They seem more, it's all in the last act anyway. So it wasn't really like it fits, but it's not really one where it's like the human killer that goes around, stalking people throughout the whole film. But right. In most regards, I can see it. I'm just like I said, if I was more of a fan, maybe I would have put her on mine. But I definitely can see where you could make the argument for it. But at least for me, I'm not the biggest fan, so I didn't really go that route. But I can definitely see, some others putting it on there for sure. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, my number one, I don't know if this one would be an obvious choice for some. I'm probably going to guess that this is not going to be a route that you've gone on based on the comments you've made earlier. But for me, at least, this is one that I definitely enjoy. It's not one where the kills are doled out in the sense of scares, but it's a female killer that doles out her kills as a sense of catharsis. And I really enjoy that. I went with the original 1978, I Spit on Your Grave.
Oh, okay. Another movie I actually have never seen. And I know they remade this, and I think I saw part of the remake or the sequel or whatever. But wow, okay. I know this is a classic, iconic one. Yep.
Yeah. This is the old school. It falls much more in line with exploitation rather than horror. So it's kind of like the gray area where it's not doled out for scares, but she's just doing horrific things to, shock people. There's, mutilations, there's castrations, there's dismemberments. She uses the, I can't really say it too much, but she uses a arrow from like the bow and arrow in a very unnatural means.
Ooh.
But to me, this is much more about the catharsis of what the kills represent. And I completely understand. I do not advocate everybody watch this. There's very, very, very few that will be able to tolerate what goes on in here. And I have absolutely no ill will for anybody that chooses not to go through with it. I understand the subject matter, the approach to it, the just unrelenting, unfazed, just in your face brutality of it all, in terms of, the instigating incident, if you haven't been aware, because this is about a woman that is raped repeatedly and decides
Right.
to go on a rampage against the ones that killed her, the ones that raped her.
Yeah.
So yeah, it like I said, if you're not comfortable with the subject matter, by all means, do not, feel bad about missing this one. As I said, it is unremitting, it is focused, and it is in your face about the rape scene in particular. So
Wow. Okay. Maybe that's why I stayed away a bit, 'cause like I
I mean,
said, sexual violence is
yeah.
tough. So,
Yeah,
but
I
I
hold no
understand
ill will.
why,
Yeah, like I said, I
right?
hold no ill will for anybody that can't get through with it. It is a very, very, very tough and personal subject matter. And if you can't get through with it, by all means, you do not need to see it. I mean, it
Yeah.
is not one of my all-time favorite movies. In the long stretch, it is not a movie you need to see before you die. You can completely be fine skipping this one. Just for me, the fact that you see what goes on with her, you see, the change from how she was before to the brutality that she unleashes after the fact, and that all of the kills are done as catharsis, where she's taking out her anger and her frustrations on deserving people that deserve to die. And that's kind of where
Yeah.
I went with it. So,
That's
yeah,
great. Yeah.
like I said, I hold no ill will for anybody that cannot get through with it. Even the remake is kind of rough. I haven't seen it in long enough to really be familiar with it, but I do remember
Yeah.
liking it. The sequel is actually kind of the same way, where it's the same story done to a different person.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it's very much another one of those, a person gets abused and raped and left for dead, and then she comes back and seeks revenge. And then there's actually a third one, which is a sequel to the remake.
Oh.
So yeah, like I know that there's not going to be a lot that know about it, but like I said, there's the remake, then there's a part two, which is the exact same story played out to a different person. And then there's part three, which is a sequel to the first remake. And then there's actually another one that came out called I Spit on Your Grave, Deja Vu, which is a sequel to this one.
Okay.
So
Huh.
it's a very convoluted and very unnatural kind of franchise. I don't know if any of them would be familiar, if it would be family time viewing, if that makes any sense. But if if you're comfortable with the subject matter, then I would probably say the original and the remake are your best bets. If you cannot get through with it, do not feel bad about it in the slightest. Like I said, it is not essential viewing. It is not recommended viewing. You can absolutely be fine skipping these if you can't handle it. And like I said, it is unremitting and it is in your face about it. So do not be afraid about it in the slightest if you can't handle it. I'm like I said, just if you can, the original and the remake are your best bets. If you can't, I hold no ill will against you at all. You're fine. So,
Yeah.
yeah,
Okay. Wow.
my number one, I
All
spit on your
right.
grave.
It's such a great title, you have to admit. I mean, wow, that title is just something else. All right, cool. Maybe I'll watch it someday because I do love, because what year was that? Was that 1978, did you say?
Yeah, the original
Okay.
78, and then I think the remake is
I want to
2009,
say that was,
2010,
yeah, that was like
somewhere
in
in there.
that, and that same like time frame as like the Last House on the Left remake. Like, the original was,
Right,
I think,
yeah.
74 maybe or something, and then yeah, 2009 had those remakes. Cool. Okay, well, I think that's great that you have that as number one. Definitely, I was considering that if I knew it better, right?
No
My
worries,
number
yeah.
one, I'm going with, yeah, kind of like an obvious choice that to me, she is sort of the grandmother in a way of female killers. And this is actually your number 10. I'm going with Mrs. Voorhees in Friday the 13th. Everything you said, I'm going to echo. I totally agree, and I co-sign. I just thought it was really fascinating because when I saw this, there, of course, were already plenty of sequels out there. I knew what Jason looked like. I probably saw some sequels before even seeing this one, right? But to have it be this twist, spoiler, spoiler, although we've already talked about it, that it's a woman and an older woman, and it's Jason's mother, which then, of course, Scream 2 with Laurie Metcalf copies, right? Which I thought that was brilliant that they lifted that from this movie. I just thought that was amazing. How bold, you know, in the wake of Halloween a couple years prior, now you're gonna have this, but the killer is not the guy in the mask yet. It's his mother who you do kind of feel for. Of course she snapped because her son, you know, drowned at the camp because the counselors, the lifeguards were having sex. You know, of course she's not well. You know, she's angry and she's bitter and she's lost her child and she's lost her mind. So I get it, you know. And then when she's so when Betsy, no, Betsy Palmer, yeah, Betsy Palmer, when she is close to that camera in close up and she's talking like Jason, like her child, you know, killer mommy, killer. I was just like, oh my God, this is wild. This is so much fun. So, like I said, even though she's not the first female killer, you know, in the pantheon of horror thriller films, she is probably the most like kind of famous female slasher or one of them. So I have to give props to Mrs. Voorhees. She's my number one.
Nice, yeah. I mean, you know where I stand on it. Circumstances, just how I formed my list, kept her from higher, being higher. But I completely understand why it's number one. No fault here. So I'm
Yeah.
definitely on board. Yeah.
Love
All
it.
right. Yeah. All right. So if there's any other honorable mentions you have before we close everything down.
Yeah, so I'll briefly mention a couple. It was hard limiting this list because I didn't want to just have like 10 honorable mentions. That's not how it goes, right? So I'll quickly just echo what you said about Orphan. She is definitely as an honorable mention. I don't know. I think I've seen the first one, you know, twice or so in my life, so I haven't seen it a bunch. So that's why I was like, I don't feel confident enough, you know, putting her on the list. But I love that you did. So honorable mention there. I also just want to give some love to some kind of random ones that are more supernatural, alien, like kind of those. So not the typical kind of slashers that we mostly talked about. But I wanted to give some love to Hello, Mary Lou, Prom Night 2. I think that's the sequel. I saw that a long time ago as a kid. Insane makeup and effects of this killer ghost, Mary Lou, a sequel to Prom Night that has nothing to do with what happened in the first Prom Night, which I thought was fun. So, wanted to just give her a shout out as an honorable mention because seeing her split someone open, you know, coming out of them, I mean, my little brain, I was like, wow, horror movies are amazing. And then one other one, a Tilly. I'm going back to the Tilly family, not Jennifer Tilly, but her sister Meg Tilly. I wanted to give her a shout out because in the many Body Snatchers movies, the one that I feel like people talk about the least is the 1993, sort of 94, because it was at the Cannes Film Festival in 93, but it actually then kind of came out very quietly in early 94, right around this time, 30 years ago. Body Snatchers, that remake with Meg Tilly. She was super, super spooky as one of the alien people, one of the pod people. And she has that line that for me really stuck with me. And it was something I'm going to paraphrase it now because I should have looked at it before I talk to you, but something like, where are you going to run? Where are you going to hide? Nowhere, you know, because they know everything. The pod people know exactly what you're thinking, what you're doing, where you're going, and how the film ends like that as well. I was just like, ooh, Meg Tilly is surprisingly spooky. So those are my brief honorable mentions. I don't want to say any more. I feel like that's a little taste of some, maybe lesser known, lesser talked about, or kind of more off the wall supernatural ones.
Cool. I'm glad you mentioned Hello Mary Lou, because I almost forgot about that one. I definitely agree with that. As I mentioned before, Serial Mom is number 11. I did have Species and Ju-on the Ring. And then there was a couple of others that I left off just because they're kind of reveals about them being female killers. So because of how I skewed my list, I didn't want to put them on there. But if we're going by favorite films that I didn't put those kinds of qualifications in check, they would have made my list. But I had High Tension, which
Oh yeah, I know. I was thinking about that one too.
For me, that one was just because even though it's the reveal that it's a killer, we see all the killings being done by a man. So, well, except for the one, but again, not necessarily kind of where I was going with this one. And then I had two, just because I'm a huge fan of giallos, so I had two of those where they're murder mysteries that kind of have a female killer as the reveal, and that's kind of not what I wanted to do here. So I have The Bird with the Crystal Plumage and Deep Red, both of which are Dario Argento films from the 70s, and that is the big twist reveal, is that they're female killers. But trust me, there's dozens of others that I could have gone with, but those are just two of my favorites.
Love it. Yeah, that's great. And actually, before I forget, there was one other one that popped in my mind, and I won't divulge because it's a newer film. But did you see Sick last year, Don?
Yes.
The Kevin Williamson? Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So I'll just say that's another honorable mention, and there's a little nod to Friday the 13th as well. So, just check that out if anyone wants to see that. I thought that was a lot of fun, and yeah, that's all I'll say.
Cool. All right. So, I guess this will close the show. So, thank you so
Wow,
much
that
for
was
this. Yeah,
fun.
this was a blast. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Don. This was great. I'm glad we got to talk about our favorite killer queens.
For sure. So, if you have any place where people can follow you online, let them know where they can check you out and your work.
Sure, thank you. Yeah, so feel free to follow me. I'm mostly on Instagram. I'm on some others, but I'm at MJP underscore POV. That is my film and coaching and casting Instagram. So you can follow me there and see some of my work. And then my podcast is Release Date Rewind. So you can find me at Release Date Rewind on Instagram, and you can see what I'm working on and our episodes and all that.
Cool. All right. So I will have links for that down below in the show notes for you to check out and follow. So,
Thank you.
thank you for joining me. Thank you again for listening. And we will be back next time with a new episode. So until then, take care.